the state's largest lobby group for farmers wanting the Victorian government to treat the water market in the Murray-Darling more like the stock exchange. The Victorian Farmers Federation has won the minister's support to at least look at some form of public register of the state's largest water owners. Richard Anderson, the chair of the VFF Water Council, says there are a number of things his organisation wants the state government to look at.
Probably the first issue has been the moratorium on new licences, and that bit of work, there's a bit of work being done that's come out of Minco, out of the December Minco. We need to see that bit of work and the results of that bit of work in order to make sure that we can actually deliver the water. Now, you might say, well, what's that mean for Northern Victoria? Well, it just means that no rationing, everyone's going to survive, existing users, there can't be any third-party impacts. So that bit of work's pretty important. We've seen highlighted only in the last, I think it was probably a month ago when the minister was up here looking at the Goulburn, the Inner Valley transfer. The transfer of so much water down these rivers. The basin plan was always about fixing up the health of the rivers. Are we now at the point where we're actually doing environmental damage because of our open market system? So that bit's pretty important.
After so many years of calls for transparency and more efficiency in the inner market, to suddenly change the rules to protect the environment, there'll be critics of that, won't there?
There will be critics, but it's not just a matter of protecting the environment. You're protecting the existing businesses. In January 2018, they went very close to not being able to deliver the water downstream. The same thing happened again in January this year. Probably helped a little bit this year, a little bit of a change in river operations in terms of weir pool levels, and probably helped a little bit by zero general security on the other side of the river. But there's no point allowing development or further development unless you're 100% you can get the water down there under those crucial times, or whether you can make other arrangements in order to satisfy that demand. If you have serious third-party impacts, not only on new development, but on existing people down there, and this is not just a Victorian issue, this becomes a New South Wales issue and a South Australian Riverland issue, because if we go on to rationing, everyone's on rationing. It's not just going to be Victorian. Here it goes.
So Victoria has partly changed the rules for the next 12 months or so. What about the, when you say everyone's in it together, what are you looking for? What's the outcome you want to see?
I think it's got to be recognised that this could be a potential problem. The state's agreed for the bit of work to be done on deliverability. I think it's up to New South Wales and South Australia to impose the same moratorium, at least until we get the results of that bit of work. Once we get that, look, it might be come back and say, look, not an issue, keep going. But at some stage, there will be a line in the sand where you just physically can't get the water down there to meet demand, especially under the, you know, in the hotter conditions.
Is it going to get worse? You were talking today about the existing almond plantations there, how much water they're using now and how much they could in the future. Even with a moratorium of new developments, has the horse already bolted?
Look, the horse may have bolted. We'll await that report, but we've got to remember that a lot of these new plantings, you know, they're only new plantings, they're not mature trees yet. They're 3 or 4 megs a hectare. Once they get to maturity, unless some technology changes, we're going to be looking at 14 megs a hectare. So there's a lot more water got to go down to satisfy that demand through those summer months and those hot months.
And there are already issues now before those trees are using 10 megalitres of water a year per hectare more.
2018, I think the river manager got within about 2 days of not. So if that 3 weeks hot weather had continued for another week, there would have already been some serious problems.
You've also talked extensively about the bringing more transparency to the water market, so people can see sort of what's happening, trades that are happening, who's operating in this market. Are there any changes that the VFF are pushing for at the moment?
Look, we've floated a couple of ideas, and certainly the issue raised about what water's being released and where it's going, I think that's something people should be able to look at an app on their phone and say, all right, they're releasing 10,000 megs going down the river, you know, 8,000 of it is consumptive demand made up of New South Wales, Victoria, whatever, might be 1,000 going to urbans or whatever. That should be done on a daily basis, and there's no reason, you know, people shouldn't have to go to half a dozen websites and start doing their own mathematics to work out what's happening. So that in itself, as to what water's being released and who's using it and where it's actually going to.
What about who owns what's water in the storages?
Who owns what water in the storage, that's part of that. That's a part of the breakdown as to the volumes in store and who owns. Once again, can be done on a daily basis. There's no reason why it can't be. The resource manager's doing that now, you know, even doing seasonal determinations. They're assessing, you know, how much inflow there is, you know, who gets what. So that can be done now.
And you'd just like to see that public and in a way that's easy for people to read?
In a format that's easy for people to read, should be able to use an app on your phone or go on the website. And I don't mean half a dozen different websites. I don't mean going to the VFF website or, you know, the Gold Murray Water website. That information should be on exactly the same information, easily accessed on the website or in addition to maybe the app, that you can do that every day.
What about the market itself? Is it operating in the right way, in your view? Are there any changes you would make there?
There's always a fair bit of speculation as to who owns what in the market, and we've floated an idea with the Minister, and I believe DELPA having a look at this now. I think who owns what in the Victorian Water Register is no different to the stock exchange as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you keep on getting these privacy rules thrown up at you, but really, stock exchange has a rule, you're buying shares in a particular company. Once you get to a certain percentage, you've got to publicly declare that it's you doing it. I can't see why that can't apply to the Water Register. There's a precedent for it. So as a VFF, you know, we'd be happy to explore that somewhat. Now, individuals or link companies or whatever, maybe it's something that sits out on the side of the register. When you get to a certain percentage in a zone of owning Victorian Water, you've got to publicly declare, and that's listed there all the time.
Now, you might have preempted my next question. Would that be a Victorian thing, or would that have to be a whole Southern Murray-Darling market thing?
Well, I think we can start it. They all run their own registers, but I think Victoria can take the lead on this. We're concerned about Victorian entitlements, obviously, as Victorian Water users and holding Victorian entitlement. But I see an opportunity here for our state to take a lead on this particular issue, and that clears up, XYZ celebrity owns all this water. We don't know that. That's pure speculation. But under this methodology, once they get to a certain percentage, they'd have to declare. Whether it's Goulburn 1A or Murray Zone 7 or whatever, it would have to be declared. And it's there for everyone to see.
Actually, it almost feels like it would take away some of the salacious headlines about speculation about foreign entities or corporate entities owning certain amounts of water and what they're doing with it.
Yeah, look, I think the foreign ownership one is not as bad as what everyone was making out, and the ATO came out with the Foreign Ownership of Water report, and it showed Victoria in a pretty good light when you considered the small volume and the fact that we do have some overseas companies operating here in Victoria.
And they're farming.
They're using the water. I think, you know, there's, just to mention a couple, Alarm, Kwagomi, you know, they're overseas companies, but they're actually using the water farming. They're not speculators. So I think the foreign ownership one's well covered.
What about speculators? Does something need to be looked at there? Or is it as big an issue as what it's made out to be?
Well, I think it's... I'm not sure the extent of the issue. It certainly gets plenty of press. I think the one way to probably solve that is to make sure that if you have got a Victorian Water Register AVA, we're floating the idea from our perspective that maybe you should have an annual use licence attached to that AVA. Now, that doesn't stop you from being a speculator. It just means that you've got to own the equivalent land, which farmers do now, with annual use licences attached to your ABA. Now, that doesn't stop the individual or the farmer from still selling his water every year, but it means at least he owns irrigatable land where the water could be used. Now,
that sounds like it would be a controversial change.
Well, some people will be screaming and saying that's bundling, or it's not rebundling. That's the truth of the matter, is it's not. It just means to hold a megalitre of water, you must own some irrigatable land. That doesn't mean you've got to use it on that land. Still trade it, but it's probably not quite as attractive to just the pure investor or speculator.
Would that force a lot of people to sell their water?
Might force a lot of people to buy land. Might have the opposite effect. Nah, look, obviously you would need to, if you made these changes, and I think they're worthy to at least investigate, but if you were making these changes, obviously there'd be sunset clauses. You can't just change the rules tomorrow. So there would be a lag period. I'm not saying that they're the right approach for us to be taking, but I think from our perspective, from a VFF perspective, these things need investigating, because, you know, there's a lot of talk out there about speculators, and these options shouldn't be just willy-nilly discarded.
Do you have a minister and a department that are listening to your ideas?
Oh, look, both those concepts have been run past the minister. I know the department have the first one about a certain percentage. The department have been asked to have a look at that, and they'll probably in due course hopefully get asked to have a look at the second part of that. But this is all about transparency, who owns what. I guess then the only missing link, how far can you go under those privacy laws in terms of, say, Richard Anderson actually selling some water, and what price, and, even on a temporary basis. Maybe that's one step too far for the Privacy Commissioner. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that field. But certainly there's a precedent for owning a certain percentage, and that's already on the stock exchange.
The basin plan, the water market, which is having a greater impact on the change in agriculture in this state?
That's probably a difficult question. I think they both had a fairly significant effect, and I'm not sure that you can single one out in isolation. They're probably intertwined, as we know they are, and they've both had some effect. But in a free market, you know, supply and demand, I think we've got to recognise it is a free market, and coalition of Australian governments agreed to that. And I can't see them actually changing that, but maybe we get a bit better understanding of the rules.